From WHYY in Philadelphia, this is The Why. I'm Annette John Hall.
And I'm Shai Ben-Yaakov.
Now, it's only 2018, but in Iowa, it's starting to feel like 2020.
This is not a time to curl up. It is not a time to shut up. It is not a time to give up. It's a time to get up, to rise up, to speak up.
That's Cory Booker, sounding presidential as he fired up Iowa Democrats right after Brett Kavanaugh's Supreme Court confirmation.
With his recent visits to Iowa and New Hampshire, it's safe to say that he's already testing the waters.
He sure is. Booker is known as a pragmatic reformer who reaches out across the aisle.
But it's easier to reach across the aisle as a mayor than as a U.S. senator in today's Washington quagmire.
And Booker's recent grilling of Trump nominees like Kavanaugh suggests the junior senator from New Jersey is positioning himself to compete with his party's more progressive wing.
That would be folks like Massachusetts Senator Elizabeth Warren, who threw her hat in the ring on New Year's Eve.
Today's show, Reading Booker. David Cruz, senior correspondent for NJTV News, has covered Booker for almost two decades. So, David, tell us who Cory Booker is. Tell us a little bit about his background.
He is originally from Harrington Park, which is a small, mostly white suburb in New Jersey. He came to a city that was crime-ridden and politically spoiled. And he came in as a reformer and with such a personality that was so different from Newark politicians that it attracted immediate attention, not only in the state of New Jersey, but really across the country.
So he's in Newark and was on city council. In 2002, he launched a failed bid for mayor. What was that race like and why did he end up losing?
That was, you know, one of those quintessential Jersey races. And the movie Street Fight, the documentary Street Fight, really captures that.
Sharp James says he's the real deal. The truth is, Sharp James is getting really rich at the taxpayers' expense.
You had an incumbent mayor, Sharp James. He was this almost prototypical, bombastic mayor who really, by simple force of his personality, was able to kind of stabilize the city, but also created this political machine of insiders that was very insular and difficult to penetrate. So here comes Cory Booker.
I have a philosophy of campaigning, which is I walk every street that I want to represent. All I've been doing is in the evenings is walking the streets and talking to people like you.
I can't even see you, but I'm talking to a screen, but I'll just let you know, I'm running for mayor.
This young kid, I think he was 30-something at the time, and kind of came up against this machine talking about a different way of seeing the city.
There's no excuse for this. This city can be doing so much better for the people that live here.
I'm trying to get people to vote for me. You going to vote for me?
Oh, yeah. I want to vote.
He was painted as an outsider. They said he was gay. They said he was Jewish.
He went to Stanford and he's Jewish.
I'm a tool for the Republican Party. I confess it.
I thought you were a tool of the Jews.
As if all of those things disqualified someone from running for office.
I am a member of the KKK. I'm part of a CIA conspiracy.
Oh, you want to know what the newest one is? You know what the newest one is?
I'm gay.
There's a media conspiracy to elect Cory Booker.
I'm part of the media conspiracy.
But in this city, when you want to point someone out as an insider, you say that they're trying to be white or they're backed by this Jewish cabal. And so that was kind of all the things that were thrown at Booker at the time.
We who fought so hard have now slipped a small end of a larger wedge into the door of this political machine.
So he loses, but he goes up against James again in 2006.
Yeah, I mean, he lost that race. It was a close race. But in 2006, it wasn't an actual rematch per se, because Sharp James bowed out before the election. Between that first race and the rematch, or what was expected to be a rematch, Booker's profile just really exploded nationally. The documentary came out, and it really showed Cory Booker as this kind of potentially transformative figure for the city of Newark.
Hey, my name is Malcolm McDonald, and I just met Cory Booker, my best friend.
If you don't believe me, smell my hands.
Smell your hands? What do you mean?
Yes, because I just touched Cory Booker.
And at that point, all the money that came into the Booker campaign, it was just a fait accompli that he was going to be the next mayor of Newark.
He smells like the future.
So tell us what he was like as the mayor of Newark.
When there was a really big snowstorm in the city of Newark, he was able to take the fact that the city was terribly unprepared for dealing with the snowstorm and turned it into a positive by himself, you know, walking around the city, shoveling people out of their parking spaces.
Did he really save a freezing dog?
A dog in New Jersey left outside in the deep freeze, found by Eyewitness News.
At some point, the media became part of the whole process. And that dog story was a perfect example.
Only our camera was there when she was rescued by Newark's uncaped crusader, Mayor Cory Booker.
The reporter, who shall remain nameless, reached out to Cory Booker directly instead of calling, say, you know, animal control. She reached out via Twitter to Cory Booker and was waiting there with cameras when Cory Booker responded by coming to the site, you know, hugging the dog, and then calling animal services. It goes to show you how much the media became a part of, you know, creating and perpetuating this Cory Booker mythology by almost creating a news story tailor-made for Cory Booker to come in and be a hero. Another example of Cory Booker, Super Booker, was a fire that happened in his neighborhood.
It was at that point that I arrived on the scene and walked into the building with the, went into the building with the detectives and found the situation at hand, which was a woman complaining, Mrs. Williams complaining about her daughter that was still trapped in the building.
Where he was supposedly ran into the building and saved a woman who was unconscious or barely conscious in the building and dragged her out. And
Your Honor, how is your hand?
It's a very minor injury. Second-degree burns, they called it some blistering, but I'm going to be absolutely fine.
I've been reporting in New Jersey for 20-some-odd years and have been covering Booker since he was a councilman, and I'd never seen the kind of media reaction to this story. Inside Edition, Entertainment Tonight, CNN, and the New York Times, and all these other news media were there to cover what was, in reality, a small fire. But it really showed how kind of we all played this role in creating the Booker mythology. And Booker, being a really intelligent guy, knows how to use that to his advantage.
Was there a point where he went from a star in New Jersey to just a national star among Democrats?
You know, where I think you saw that the most was when he was on Oprah with Mark Zuckerberg, collecting $100 million for education in the city of Newark.
Well, we've been talking for quite some time about creating a bold new paradigm for educational excellence in the country, to show the way, to put the people of the city of Newark really in the driver's seat and the focal point.
On a national scale, people were like, here's a guy who is working across the aisle, The Republican governor was in on that deal as well. And his celebrity status helped him to attract Mark Zuckerberg's $100 million.
So he has this charmed kind of political career, and it gets even more charmed, David.
Senator Frank Lautenberg of New Jersey died this morning. He was 89 years old.
Because it seems like that position to become senator was just ripe for the taking for him.
That created the necessity for a special election. And Booker, I guess he had three or four opponents in a primary, and he ran through those because in New Jersey, it's Cory Booker and everybody else in terms of, you know, how much political attention you get.
This is the fight I will carry to Washington. Our fight, our spirit, our guts, our grit. This is the kind of senator I will be.
In the Senate, Cory Booker sits on the Judiciary Committee, and after Brett Kavanaugh was nominated for the Supreme Court, Booker said those who vote for his confirmation were
either complicit in the evil. You are either contributing to the wrong or you are fighting against it.
He eventually walked back those comments. Do you think that he's changed at all during his time in the Senate?
I think he's trying to learn how to be a national figure and is trying to appeal to certain audiences. I mean, I think he understands that his left flank, that is the more progressive end of the party, is not entirely down with Cory Booker yet. They feel a little bit like he's in the pocket of Wall Street, which has been contributing to his campaign almost from the beginning. And by this time, it's been millions of dollars that he's gotten from Wall Street. And I think that some of those things, like, you know, the line being complicit in evil and some of what people perceived as grandstanding on his part in the Kavanaugh hearings.
I hope that they will bring charges against us. And I'm ready to accept the full responsibility for what I have done.
Were a result of Cory Booker trying to find the road, the best road, that leads to the White House.
Is Cory Booker actually moving to the left with the electorate, or is it just rhetoric, or what do you think?
His reputation is as a pragmatist. I think where Booker runs into trouble is when he tries to be something that he's not. And so there's that potential pitfall as he tries to talk about a progressive agenda, but not really from the point of view of someone who is naturally of that progressive agenda.
David, thank you so much for speaking with us.
Thank you, David.
Yep, my pleasure, guys.
Cory Booker has said he'll make a decision on whether he'll make a bid for the 2020 presidency in about a month. And that's it for the show. The Why is produced by me and Annette, along with Kelsey Hansen.
Follow us on Twitter at Shai Ben Yaakov and at Annette JH.
Subscribe to the podcast and leave a review.
We'll be back tomorrow.